Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back in. Hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic. Hanging out today at Pete and Terry's Tavern here at Bridgestone Arena. And our game day broadcast from Bridgestone Arena brought to you by Hermitage, the Design Center. Head on down to Pete and Terry's today. We've got some great specials all day long for lunch and some free breakfast and coffee specials as well. So come hang out with us at Pete and Terry's Tavern at Bridgestone Arena. We'll be here all day long on 102.5 The Game, looking ahead to the Predators and the Seattle Kraken taking place tonight for opening night at Bridgestone Arena. So make sure you come down and that you're a part of that. And speaking of the Nashville Predators, Joe Rexrode threw out my predictions yesterday for the Predators and the NHL as a whole. I have the Tampa Bay Lightning winning the Stanley Cup against the Colorado Avalanche. Have the Predators finishing in seventh in the Central Division. I saw your piece at The Athletic that you did with Adam Vingan yesterday, which, by the way, well done by you two at TheAthletic.com. Interesting prediction by you for the Nashville Predators yesterday in your piece. What do you expect out of this Predators team as they begin play tonight against the Kraken?
I'll be that guy.
You go ahead.
Picking the Preds to go to the playoffs. I picked the Preds to go to the playoffs. I picked them fourth. I picked them fourth in the Central, which is a super optimistic, sunny view. Is this a situation where it's the preseason and we have to write something and we're making some predictions and I'm being a bit of a contrarian? Yeah, I guess. But you know what? I actually think I think that this team is going to surprise people. I think that I know it's a lot to sit here and say. I think Johansson and Duchesne are both just going to be gangbusters. And if they are, then I think this team is the outlook is very different. But I think they're going to respond. I think Saros is going to be very good, not as good as last year, but very good. And I think you got Forsberg in a contract year. You're going to have some good luck. You're going to need the young guys. You're going to need Tolvanen, I think, in particular, to be what he started to be last year and then be that for a whole year. Let those other young guys come along. I mean, look, we just dismiss, which is funny, like the Preds don't think of them as the fourth line. But, we kind of don't talk about them because they're a given now, but that they are a problem for opponents. Even listening to guys talk about what it meant to have a full training camp, kind of the expectations that seemed so, I don't know about extreme, but they seemed different. And they seemed, I guess, extraordinary a little bit. Now that's just the norm. That's the standard. I think they're going to be a tough, gritty team with enough skill to make a run and just get in, just get into the playoffs. So I don't know that I really like this team to make a run in the playoffs. I mean, who knows? By then, they could be broken up and having not even come close, or they could be way better than we think right now. But I think they're going to get in.
Well, I don't think it's crazy. I mean, I said yesterday, you know, really anything fourth through seventh place in the division, and you can make an argument third through seventh place. Not going to surprise me all that much when it comes to the Central Division. I don't think there's some vast degree of separation between the Predators and, you know, the St. Louis Blues or the Winnipeg Jets or even the Blackhawks. Like, I don't think there's this, you know, big chasm in between two. Like, apparently the sports books do. I mean, if you go look at FanDuel's odds before the season, I mean, the Predators are not only seventh in the Central Division, they are seventh by a considerable margin. I mean, it's a big gap between 6th and 7th in the Central Division when you go by strictly the odds. And I don't buy into that. Like, I don't think there's this huge gap. I do think if the Predators make the playoffs this year, you're going to need a lot of things to go right. Obviously, health, that's the biggest thing. You need your goaltender to play similar to the way that he played a year ago. but you're going to need your young guys, and not all of them, but most of them, to play really well, to be able to figure things out immediately at the NHL level. You need Ryan Johansson and Matt Duchene to respond much better than they have the last couple of years. You need Philip Forsberg to stay healthy, and you need your back end. You need guys like Carrier and Myers to come in and play solid defensively. You know, could all those things happen? Yeah, I think they absolutely could happen, and if they do, this Predators team is probably going to be sitting in a pretty good spot. To me, that's a lot of things that have to go right.
It's a lot of things. Yeah, it is. There's no doubt. It's a lot of things. I still think some of those things can not happen, you know, if 92 and 95, that top line looks like a top line.
Agreed.
That alone, you know, changes the trajectory, changes the outlook. And I think Cody Glass, you know, Tomasino is just, it's just, he's very young. And so people got to keep that in mind. Cody Glass has had sort of ups and downs, and he's had injuries and some opportunity, but maybe not exactly. You know, he should be, I think, ready to go ahead and take this fresh start and run with it. I think that's a big thing, too. Like, to me, there's more reasonable expectation for him than for Tomasino to come in and dazzle everyone right away.
Great. And, you know, he's a guy that also, I mean, you know, Tomasino, as talented as I think he is, you're talking about, what was he, like the 22nd, 23rd? I have to go look exactly what pick he was. I mean, Cody Glass, you're the 6th overall pick. And you're playing at center. I mean, this is an opportunity for him to play in a bigger role with his team. Now, I say that, he's probably going to start the night tonight as the third line center for the Predators. I think he'll get some power play time. I think as the season goes on, if he plays well, maybe he gets elevated a little bit. Like, do I believe right now that Mikael Granlund's going to be the second line center all season long? I don't know. Probably not. I mean, Granlund's good enough where you can play him pretty much anywhere. And I think if the opportunity is there for Cody Glass to move up, I think it makes a lot of sense, because that could end up being a heck of a deal for the Predators if you're able to acquire a second-line center, or who knows, maybe even a first-line center one day in Cody Glass. I mean, that's what he was drafted to be, was a first-line center. And if he realizes that potential here, all of a sudden that Ryan Ellis trade that I think you and I both agreed at the time was pretty underwhelming on the return, all of a sudden that looks a whole lot better if Cody Glass lives up to where he was drafted.
So is that not the fourth line, though? Like, should we call
it
that?
It kind of is.
Should we call that the fourth line?
Probably.
I mean, your identity line is should be at least your third line, right?
Well, I mean, my guess is, like, numerically, when they go out there tonight for warm-ups, that'll probably be the third line. But minutes-wise, I bet it's not.
Right. The other line will play more. Yeah. You just automatically think of your fourth line as your quote-unquote checking line.
Right.
But they're more than that.
Look,
right?
They could. They'll probably start the game tonight. That's how that went to close out the season last year. Although tonight, I'd probably be starting. Not that it matters really who you start in the NHL, because it's line changes.
Right.
But I'd probably start the 9-92-95 line tonight.
Yeah.
See how that goes.
The 9 line?
Yeah.
Is that what they're called? People going with that? The 9 line?
Some people call it that. Look,
I like the money line.
I like the money line too. I do kind of subscribe to the theory of let's let them play together for a little while before you start naming lines.
I mean, yeah, like Porth, like they had a preseason goal. Like, they need a nickname. No, they don't. But
let's make sure they're the line on opening night.
It's okay to get them ready, though. It's okay to get some nicknames ready. Yeah. Money line's pretty good. And that's the show that Porth and Chase do.
Why, yes, it is.
I mean, it's just to think all these things coming together. World's colliding.
World's colliding. There was an interesting prediction in the article that you and Adam came out with yesterday, and it goes to your point that you made earlier in the show about maybe people not looking that much at Luke Cunningham this year. Adam Venkin predicting yesterday that Luke Cunningham is going to lead the Nashville Predators in goals, which I don't know if that means that's a really good thing for Luke Cunningham or if that's an indictment on somebody else.
Yeah, like what's the number?
Right.
Yeah, if that happens, great for Luke Cunningham, but if it's like 21 goals or something, you know, that's a bold one. Some of these predictions are bold, some of them are not as bold. That's a pretty bold one, but I do think whether he does or doesn't, he's a guy who no one talks about, and I really like the potential of that line of Granlund, Cunningham, and Tolvanen. I mean, that's a potentially real nice line.
It is, and you know, they played some hard minutes last year, specifically Granlund and Cunningham. They spent a lot of time together last year, even heading into the playoffs, and they got the matchups against some of the top competition. I would anticipate that's probably going to continue for the most part, maybe trying to free up, especially when you're at home, trying to free up the Johansson line a little bit to go out there and score. So, I mean, they're going to be playing hard minutes, but the chemistry that Granlund and Cunningham have together I think is really good. My question for that line is, all right, can you bring Tolvanen along with you? And 5-on-5, can he be more a part of things? Like, yeah. That's got to be – in order for that line to be successful, Tolvanen's going to have to be a big part of it, not just with special teams, but 5-on-5 as well.
Yeah, absolutely. But, again, before the injury last year, I thought that was clearly coming along too. I mean, everything that you wanted to see was starting to happen. So, he's a big part of this year as well. And I think like a 20-goal kind of season from him. I mean, he should get how many on the power play anyway, right? He should get his share.
Yeah, to be
on
up
the
there.
Power play. But if you can get him being more of a 5-on-5 threat and just an all around, you know, both ends of the ice guy, that's a big deal for this team too. Again, it's one of those things, like you said, you can go down this long list of things that need to happen. They're not all going to happen. A lot of them, though, do need to happen for this team to be a playoff team. And then Saros, and it's like a good start for him and for the team, I think, is really important too. Because negativity, when the expectations are what they are, you may have this chip on your shoulder and all that, but you got to, I think, early on kind of established that, you know, you're better than people say you are, or, you know, internally it can get tougher and the doubts can creep in.
We'll continue the conversation on the Predators when we come back. Bicycle Boy, hang with us on our phone line. We'll get to you coming up next as well. Make sure you're tuning in during the 8 a.m., noon, and 4 p.m. hours each weekday this week for your chance to qualify to win a pair of tickets to see Monday Night Football on October the 18th in Nashville. Listen for the cue to call. Be caller number 3 at 615-737-1025, and you will qualify to win the tickets. Two winners will be announced tomorrow at 5:30. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. That was Charles Barkley on the NHL on TNT broadcast last night. Had Pekka-Rinne's goaltending gear on, standing next to Paul Bissonnette, Wayne Gretzky as well, part of that broadcast last night.
Don't forget Anson Carter.
Don't forget Anson Carter.
My former classmate.
Really?
Michigan State, yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah, man.
I didn't know he was your former classmate.
Well, I mean, I didn't have any classes with him, but we both went to Michigan State at the same time.
I didn't know y'all went at the same time.
We're both old.
I didn't know that Anson Carter was that old.
He does not look as old as me, does he? Is that what you're trying to say?
I really should stop taking shots at your age.
It's fine. It's over, man. Just call me a boomer and let's move on.
Anytime Charles Barkley's on television, sign me up.
Barkley is a big Preds fan.
He is. He was here for the Cup Final. Look, I hope, you know, obviously he's not going to be able to do that all the time on NHL on TNT, but as often as he is able and willing to do it, they should have Charles Barkley on there.
Agree.
You know, he's got his real job coming up here in a few weeks, so he'll be busy.
The best
that.
Show in television history.
Yes.
Which can never, ever, ever change.
No, it cannot. So, good to see him on the air last night.
Always.
You know, it's early. People are going to complain about a lot of things. I get it. I'm pretty excited about the ESPN and TNT broadcast taking over the NHL. It's something different. I like it. I think different was needed on the broadcast.
Agree. No, I mean, I think it's going to be a good thing. I know there's some adjustment and some people weren't totally happy with everything on the first night and all that stuff, but they'll figure it out. And, they were tweeting out, like, those real old pictures of, like, Bucci Gross
Melrose.
Melrose, man. Man. Whew. Melrose used to have, like, just a glorious mullet.
Oh, yeah.
Glorious hockey hair.
I mean, in a way, it still kind of does, but yeah. It used to be like extreme.
Yeah. It used to be better, but no, it's better for the NHL and I think for hockey fans.
Ryan in Nashville texting in on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. The last chance line for Forsberg, Johansson, Duchesne.
The last chance line.
People already.
That's kind
name
of tough.
Line.
That's a tough one for Forsberg to be on though. Best player on the line. Yeah. Yeah.
For next year. He is under contract this year.
The last chance for the Preds, maybe, to keep him. But, yeah. Okay, that's not bad.
So, we've made our predictions. You've got the Predators making the playoffs. I do not. But predictions aside, as you look at this team, as you look at the group that David Poile and the Predators have assembled, in your mind, what is a successful season? What does that mean when it comes to this team? Because I think you and I would both agree that if this team plays at their maximum ability – probably not a Stanley Cup contender. I mean, who knows? You get in the playoffs, as we've seen. Anything can happen. But nobody's going to pick the Predators to win the Stanley Cup this year. Nobody has picked the Predators, as far as I've seen, to win the Stanley Cup this year. So what is a successful season for the Predators here in 2021-22?
Well, it's certainly making the playoffs. I think it's also making an impact in the playoffs, which I would actually argue they did last year. And, you know, they didn't win. They lost the first-round series, but, I mean, they were toe-to-toe with a team that was one of the best teams in the league last year. So would you call it a – see, to me, it's that, but it's also you get things from people – I mean, it's a very young team now all of a sudden. But you get some things from people that point to better days ahead.
Yeah.
And point to, okay, a couple of really well-done moves now in the next offseason, and you might actually have something, and it may not have to be some big some big barren time period between, you know, teams that can actually contend. That's a lot.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I expect that. You know, I mean, again, I picked them to get in the playoffs to barely get in. Would that alone be successful? I guess you could look at it that way. But again, I know some Pred fans, and I understand the sentiment, who are like, please don't go into a stretch of just being on the fringe of the playoffs for a few years, and then some of these guys are old and move on, and you haven't really replenished things and haven't really reformed a group that can make a run. It's a very, I mean, it's a tough situation. I don't know what the right answer is. I mean, I think you could make the case, no, like rebuild. But again, how many times have we talked about some of these franchises in this league who have done that and then have never gotten out of it, too?
Yeah.
And you have Boston, who has a core, and then they kind of go, and then they're right back. I mean, now their core is, you know,
pretty good.
Really good. So, but to me, it's like you win, you're good, but you also point to better days ahead.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think, you know, a big part of it is the young players. Like, what do they look like at the end of this year?
Right.
There's going to be ups and downs. Like, I think if you're coming in and you're expecting Philip Tomasino to have 60 points this year or be a guy that, you know, is winning the Calder Trophy, probably not. I mean, it's... as Mike Rabel would say, probably not.
Probably not.
My guess would be, thank you. My guess would be that doesn't happen. But is there continual improvement? Like, by the end of the year, is he a guy that, there's no question about it, he belongs in the lineup on a nightly basis? Is he a guy that can help you on the power play? Can you plug him in at center or on the wing, which he said he's comfortable playing in both situations? And can he challenge for a spot in the top six? Like, if all those things happen with Tomasino, I think it's pretty good growth for him in year one. I mean, I would include Tolvanen still in the young guys. Like, can he get to 20 goals? Like, I don't think 20 goals is an unreasonable expectation for Elie Tolvanen this year. I think I would be disappointed if he didn't get there this year with the opportunity I think he's going to have. Like, that needs to happen to me. Is Cody Glass worthy of where he was drafted? Like, are there signs that he displays to you where you say, okay, well, we've got something to build with here as a potential second or first-line center as they move forward here? And then, of course, you know, a lot of people are not going to consider this a part of a successful season or not, but I do. Like, I said it before training camp ever began, the number one job to me this year for John Hines, you have to find a way to make Ryan Johansson and Matt Duchene as successful as they can be. Now, what does that mean? What is successful as they can be? I don't know that necessarily means that Matt Duchene's a 70-point guy anymore. Like, I don't know that we'll ever see the day of Matt Duchene being 70 points again. I mean, heck, can he get to 50? Can he get to 55? Can he be a consistent threat on a night-in, night-out basis? You know, last year, even though you and I never really thought it was all that realistic, you know, I think there was this hope or maybe this thought process out there from some Predators fans of, all right, well, one of them will be gone in the expansion draft, and maybe you could trade one of them, and then you kind of restart.
Right.
Like, based on the way those guys have played – and the current climate in the NHL with the salary cap being what it is, I mean, you basically have two untradeable contracts at the moment. So they're going to be a part of your team. You can either, you know, just kind of suffer through it with them, or you can try to make them as successful as possible, and I still think that's a big part of John Hines' job this year.
It is. Now, I think it's a bigger part of their job.
I would agree.
But, I mean, I think And it sounds like, you know, look, first of all, they had a lot of conversations. They've had this full preseason. It's more normal now than it's been. And I think that the line makes sense. I mean, I think that putting them together with Forsberg gives them the best opportunity to maximize whatever they have to give. I think it's different situations. I do think that Johansson, obviously, as the number one center, he does a lot of things. He can have a good season without having some huge, to me, jump in production. But Duchesne can't. I mean, Duchesne he's here to put the puck in the net, and especially if this is what he's doing, is he's playing right wing with Johansson. That's especially what he's here to do. Yeah. You got to score goals. So, I mean, I think the number for him is more important than it is for Johansson. But both of them, I mean, when they were together in the Carolina series, you saw some good things. I mean, they're together. They're also off the power play. I mean, it was just an interesting thing. And you saw some good things, you know, last year, but just not nearly enough. So, yeah, I think you're right. I mean, I think it's Hines, but, I mean, ultimately he's limited in what he can do. These guys, I know, have worked. I know they're motivated, and they've played well in the preseason. That's all great. Okay, let's see it. I don't think it's as unrealistic. I think some people are just out on it,
yeah.
Have just dismissed it. And if they're right, well, then this team won't come close to the playoffs.
Join us in partnering with the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society's Light the Night. Light the Night brings light to the darkness of cancer through hope, research, and support for patients and their families. Through this inspirational nationwide movement, we raise awareness and funding for groundbreaking research and treatment options to eliminate cancer. Nashville's Light the Night will be virtual and take place on November the 4th. Learn more at lightthenight.org/TN. When we come back, speaking of the Nashville Predators, we will be joined by Predators head coach John Hines. Get his thoughts on opening night and his excitement level for this group and this team as they head into this season. All that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. It is an exciting day, opening night for the Nashville Predators against the Seattle Kraken. And to help us talk more about that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by Wilson County Hyundai.com, and welcome in Nashville Predators head coach John Hines. John, what's going on, man? How are we doing?
I'm doing great. Good morning to you guys. And hockey's back. Great that we have a chance to get together here in the mornings. And looking forward. We got a little pregame skate here this morning and then tee it up tonight.
Absolutely. Really looking forward to it. John, what's this day like for you and your coaching staff? Obviously, I mean, you guys have been planning and working and getting ready for this, not just for the last couple of weeks, but really the last few months as you've looked ahead to the season. What is this day, opening night, like for you as a coach?
Well, it's exciting because you have, you've put a lot of work in the off season, and obviously there's changes to your team. You know, in the off season, then you go into training camp, and you know we felt like the players did a really good job in training camp with how we practiced and played, and it's exciting. Now you kind of go in and you're going against the first game. Building's going to be sold out, and it's kind of like the first day of school again, a little bit, where you certainly feel prepared to go, but you're a little anxious during the day because it's the first game of the regular season, so it's exciting.
So, John, in the build-up to this, the preseason, what did you learn about your team, or maybe something that you found out that maybe you didn't anticipate, if there is anything like that?
I would say two things, Joe, that, you know, one was just in talking with the players really prior to camp and a lot of the returning players. Just, I think there's just a clear understanding of how we need to play, how we need to work, and really, you know, that's embraced by the players where, you know, we feel like we have a talented team, we feel like we have a good team, you know, there's a strong mix of, you know, veteran leadership and then some younger, newer guys to our team, but really understanding the level of competitiveness and work ethic you have to be able to win, and I think the players demonstrated that on a daily basis in training camp, and, you know, we felt like in our exhibition games, you know, we had that type of an identity. So I'd say that's the first one. And the second thing is, you know, there's a good chemistry and feel around the team. You know, I think the group has done some things away from the rink together that to bring them closer. It feels like a more connected group than the last couple coming out of training camps. And probably it's because it's been more normal times, but also a longer opportunity and runway to do things not only on the ice but off the ice.
So, John, obviously we've talked to you a lot. We talk a lot here on the show about, you know, Johansson and Duchesne and what, you know, everybody needs to see from them this year. And you had some interesting comments on them yesterday at your press conference about that line together with Philip Forsberg and the way they've been driving practice. So I guess what did you mean by that? What have you seen from those guys? And what excites you about those three specifically as a line heading into tonight?
Well, I think the three of them have come back to camp in really good shape. You know, we had some conversations, individual meetings with them, you know, prior to camp and later in the summer about, you know, their game, what they're thinking, how we can help them, how they can help themselves. And a lot of it is, you know, they're obviously talented players, but, you know, just to see the drive that they've had, you know, for example, just the pace that they're playing with in practice and in the exhibition games, the competitive level, you know, I think when you watch them in their puck battles or 50-50 pucks or, you know, I remember, you know, Matt Duchesne, we were in 3-on-3 in Carolina in our exhibition game there, and there was a turnover. He's down at the hash marks in the offensive zone. I mean, he back checks. He puts his head down and back checks all out. I mean, all out back to the we gave up a 2-on-1 right back to the slot. He saves a secondary scoring chance, gets the puck, and transitions it up to Ekholm and Granlund for a 2-on-1 the other way. It's those things that, you know, we've seen spotted at times with those guys, but I think, you know, they put together some real substance here in training camp, and looking forward and optimistic that that's going to carry on into the regular season. And if that does, those guys are going to be formidable players and should be a real tough line to play against.
How much do you think that does, you know, lead to production, John? Because obviously this is the way you guys want to play. It makes a huge difference just in overall a team winning. But for a player's individual production, players like that, I think, I mean, maybe even especially with Duchesne, who is, you know, considered, I guess, more of an offensive player, whereas Johansson, you know, maybe more of an all-around player. But how much do those little things, do you believe, you know, translate to production for players like that?
Well, they're big. You know, it's really essential, you know, because it's, you know, there's times where when you're an offensive player that the puck is on your stick and you have time and space and, you know, there's clear-cut opportunities to be able to create offense. Maybe it's off the rush. Maybe it's in the end-zone offense. You know, I think that their decision-making, you know, when they can attack off the rush, when they have time and space or the defensemen are gapped up, they can gain the offensive blue line and create some plays. I think their decision-making there has been strong in training camp and in the exhibition games. You know, but hockey's also, you know, it's not like football where you're just, you know, you go out, you play offense, and then when it's time for defense, you get off the field. There's, you know, you have to be able to win pucks back. You have to have a second effort to, if you want to play offense and you don't have possession of the puck, how quick can you get it back? And that comes to that competitiveness and work ethic and tilting the ice where you can play more in the offensive zone. And the harder you work without the puck, the more opportunities you get to play with it. And that's, I think if these guys can really continue to understand that and play the way that they've played and practice the way that they practice, you know, they're going to be tough players to play against, and they're going to really help drive our team.
Predators head coach John Hines on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And John, obviously Philip Tomasino is here. He is on the opening night roster. What did you see from him in camp that's allowed him to get to this point, and what are you looking for from him as the regular season begins to allow him to stay around?
Well, you know, the real quality attributes with Phil are, you know, he plays with pace. He's a very competitive guy. You know, he has natural offensive instincts. Like, the puck finds him in scoring areas, and he has the ability to score. You know, those are things you know coming in, which is why, you know, I think he was drafted where he was drafted, because of those components. Now, when you're evaluating a young guy to come in, there's a lot of substance to his game. You know, he's not a one-trick pony. You know, I think he's gotten better and better as camp's gone on, with his play without the puck, understanding, you know, the competitive level you need to have going from junior from the American League last year into the NHL. So we feel comfortable, you know, that his best attributes he felt showed in training camp and practices and in games. We feel like he's gotten better and developed, you know, some substance and things to his game. For example, when he doesn't have the puck, his responsibility without it. And now it's a great opportunity for him. He's certainly earned it. It's not a token game. He's had a good training camp. We like what we've seen, and now it's an opportunity to see where he's at in the regular season, and is he ready to make an impact?
And of course, quite a few young guys, John, on this team. I mean, I was looking through the roster earlier, and it was actually kind of depressing. I'm like, there's one guy born in the '80s. Like everyone is, you know. And of course, Tomasino born in the 2000s. Now that's man. That's eye opening. But yeah, you know, you guys have gotten quite a bit younger. Another young guy that I'm very interested in this year, of course, is Dante Fabbro. Like, what have you seen from him in this preseason, and how has he responded to all that happened last year?
Well, he responded really well. I mean, you know, we asked him to get stronger. He came back in training camp. He put 2 inches on his vertical jump, which, you know, measures your explosiveness, which is and your leg strength, which is really big in hockey. His upper body strength numbers went up, and his fitness testing was really good. So here's a young guy to put in some work over the summer. You know, really, I think took to heart the things that we felt needed to be better, and obviously he agreed with those things. He put the work in, and in training camp, you know, we came in with him and basically told him that, you know, he's a really good puck moving defenseman. So can he transition the puck up out of our zone, neutral zone transition? Be a factor in the offensive zone, you know, with his passing and shooting. We feel like he's made good decisions and done that. You know, the big thing was really his skating and his competitiveness in the battle areas for a defenseman, where they're a must. Your net front defense, you know, ending plays and being hard on players along the boards in your own defensive zone to kill plays. He's been very consistent in that. So I think his, you know, the changes he's made to his fitness level and strength have allowed him to do that, and I think the mindset he's playing with has been good. So, you know, for him, off season was good, training camp was good. He's going to get a great opportunity here in game one to be able to build off that, and we'll see where it goes from there.
John, how excited are you and the team to have fans in the stands from the jump this season? Expecting a pretty good environment tonight at Bridgestone Arena.
Yeah, it's going to be fantastic. I mean, you look at the second half of last year, and then into the playoffs. You know, the environment that was there, even in the preseason games, you know, we played in some other buildings, and it wasn't close to Bridgestone's crowd, and you know, really excited. I mean, 17,000 and in the stands, and I think you know, the relationship between the fans and the team is something special in the NHL. So I know the players are really, really excited for it. We are, and we feel like we're prepared, and now we got to go and let it fly here tonight.
John, you mentioned the chemistry, guys hanging out together. Maybe a team feeling more connected. On the leadership front, obviously you got some big losses in that way, of course, and in particular, I guess I think of obviously Pecorino, but, you know, Ryan Ellis as well. Anyone in particular kind of stepping up with a more, a louder voice in the room?
Yeah, you know, one guy even last year that really took a step, particularly in the second half, was Ekholm. You know, he was... We have a little leadership criteria that we talk to guys, and, you know, one of the things with Roman or Ekholm or whether it was Ellis or, you know, these guys is that they're great players and they're great people, but sometimes there needs to be a little bit of leadership development. And one of the things that, you know, we had talked with Ekholm about last year coming into the year was, you know, he's such a good pro, but, you know, by doing the right things all the time is setting an example, but leadership is holding people accountable to that, having a voice, recognizing guys that are, recognizing guys that aren't, but also having enough conviction to be able to have a voice in the room. And I really have been impressed with his leadership the second half of last year, you know, to aid Roman. And, you know, I think those two guys make a good pair. And then I think there's some other guys that, based on how they've performed in training camp, their attitudes and how they're working, I think there's some, you know, some potential for more growth there also.
Well, John, we're looking forward to it. Obviously going to be a great environment tonight at Bridgestone Arena against the Seattle Kraken. And thanks for taking time to join us today. We'll see you at the morning skate.
All right, great guys. See you soon, and I appreciate you having me on.
Absolutely. Predators head coach John Hines, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road, looking ahead tonight to the matchup against the Seattle Kraken. When we come back, it is time for the first edition of the season of Preds Pick to Click. Didn't go well for Robbie Stanley last year, but it's a new day, it's a new year, and we'll kick that off next. Be the first caller at 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Caller number one will have a chance to guess the goal scorer for tonight's matchup for the Predators against the Kraken. We'll get to that coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, and I got to tell you about my friends at the FanDuel Sportsbook. Hockey season in full swing, and there's no better place to bet on the NHL than the FanDuel Sportsbook. NHL parlays are the perfect way to make every shot feel like a hat trick, and you can turn your little bet into a big parlay. All season long, FanDuel Sportsbook giving every customer NHL parlay insurance, so you get up to $25 back each day if your parlay falls one leg short. I would take over on Eli Tolvanen and the goals tonight. I think he gets one on the power play. Give me the Preds on the money line as well. But you take it any way you want to take it. If you don't have a FanDuel account, sign up now using promo code ROB to place your first bet risk-free up to $1,000. Once again, FanDuel's always hooking you up with great odds and exclusive offers. Plus, when you win, you'll get paid in as little as 24 hours. So when this season, make every moment matter more. And bet the NHL with FanDuel Sportsbook. Remember to use promo code ROB so they know that I sent you. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Parlay insurance, max refund of $25 per day. Risk-free bet for first online real money wager only. Refund issued is non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days for parlay insurance and 14 days for risk-free bet. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. And it is that time of the day, time for Preds Pick to Click here on Robbie and Rex Row. The Predators taking on the Seattle Kraken tonight. And it is that time to bring this competition back. Now, Preds Pick to Click did not go well for me last year. And today, Joe Rex Road is the first step of redemption.
Went well for me. Let's not forget that part of it.
It went very well for you. We'll see if Robbie Stanley can have a rebound. But we begin today by going to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcoming in David from Hendersonville, who is today's participant in Preds Pick to Click. David, welcome in. How's it going?
Hey, thanks for having me. I'm excited to be a part of this.
Well, absolutely, David. You're kicking us off this year, and the Predators in action against the Kraken tonight. Who is your goal scorer for the Nashville Predators?
Well, you know, Jarrett's been so up and down on this guy. I'm going to go ahead and go with Duchesne.
Very nice. So Matt Duchesne, the first one off the board. David, we appreciate you taking time to call in.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Absolutely. So Duchesne, the first pick off the board in Preds Pick to Click this year. David and Hendersonville going with Matt Duchesne. I got to say, I didn't see that one coming.
Yeah. Well, it's not a bad pick.
It's not a bad pick. It is not a bad pick at all. So Michelle Knezovic, you're going to kick us off today. Matt Duchesne is off the board. Michelle, who is your pick to click tonight for the Predators?
Hey, guys. Good morning. My pick to click is Forsberg.
I think
he's going to score tonight.
It's probably a pretty good pick. Philip Forsberg off the board as well. So Matt Duchesne, Philip Forsberg off the board. Joe Rexrode, you are up next. Your pick to click in tonight's game for the Nashville Predators.
So this means Michelle's going to start winning this competition, too.
Yes, very winning
well.
Them
the
all.
Listener, the very well
listener.
Could be.
The listener, yeah. But I can't blame the Duchesne pick. I'm going to have to struggle this year a little bit without
yeah.
Rex Croak.
No Yarn Croak.
Without Yarn Croak. He may be in the building. Will he be in the building?
I doubt it.
I didn't think so.
Yep.
That's too bad. So I'm going to go with a guy who actually, whenever I picked him last year, it didn't go well. But I feel good about this tonight. Give me Mikael Granlund.
Oh, Granlund scoring a goal. I like that. So Granlund off the board, Duchesne off the board, Philip Forsberg off the board. I said it earlier. I'll say it again right now. Give me Eli Tolvanen. I think Tolvanen finds one on the power play tonight. So I will take Eli Tolvanen in Preds Pick to Click tonight. So the listener, David in Hendersonville, going with Matt Duchesne. Michelle going with Philip Forsberg. Joe Rexrode going with Mikael Granlund. Robbie Stanley going with Eli Tolvanen. Good luck in the first edition of Preds Pick to Click.
Good luck, everyone.
We appreciate it.
So four of the top six there chosen. No defensemen.
No defensemen.
No Yakov Trenin, rumbling down the ice.
Which means the goal scorers tonight will be Colton Sissons, Yakov Trenin, Tanner Jeannot.
Or you know.
Yossi.
Yeah, Yossi, Fabro. You know, throw a little. I'm trying to think who else. Nick Cousins. Nick Cousins will score tonight.
That's right. So as we said earlier, we are out here today live at Pete and Terry's Tavern at Bridgestone Arena. And our game day broadcast from Bridgestone Arena brought to you by Hermitage, the Design Center. Come on out to Pete and Terry's Tavern. We got some cool free breakfast items for you and some coffee as well. And there will be some lunch specials going on today with Darren, Donick, and Chase out here at Pete and Terry's Tavern as well. So come on by and hang out with us here at Bridgestone Arena. We've also got some tickets to give away every hour as well today. And we're going to do that via trivia question on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We've already given away one pair. And now it's time for pair number two. In honor of opening night, obviously tonight being opening night for the Predators against the Kraken, what team did P.K. Subban score his first goal as a Predator against on opening night in 2016? What team did P.K. Subban score his first goal as a Predator against? If you know the answer, hit up our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. 1025. A very well-dressed Sean Henry has walked into the building as well. Very well-dressed Sean Henry.
Got some keys.
Yeah.
What's up with the keys?
By the way, we've got a special program and announcement coming up at 8:30 today here as well, so make sure you are tuned in for that. We'll see if anybody knows the trivia question. I have a pretty good amount of confidence they do.
I remember that night well.
Oh, yeah.
I remember the goal pretty well, actually.
I do, too. There was quite a bit of media in the building that night, too.
There was.
A lot of folks from Montreal down here. Wonder why.
That's right. That's right. It was chock full of the Canada media. Yeah.
So we had John Hines on earlier, and he talked about it on the interview with us, talked about it yesterday at practice, too, but has really gone out of his way so far to talk about Duchesne, Johansson, and Forsberg, and the way that not only they've approached the game in practice, but the preseason games as well. Used the term yesterday that they were driving practice for this team. What do you think about that? And when you hear that, I guess if you're a Predators fan, how encouraging is that? And he gave the example of Duchesne in the preseason game against Carolina, coming back on the back check, breaking up the odd man rush, and then sending one down the other way. If that's going to be the way they play in the regular season, I think that could mean very good things for that line.
Yeah, I mean, look, obviously you like to hear, I guess, a coach go out of the way to talk about stuff like that. I mean, John Hines actually seemed enthusiastic recounting that story from preseason game.
Yep.
How much does that translate to, actual production in the season? I don't know. Do you create more opportunities for yourself? Probably. Do you help your team? I think for sure. You know, it's still going to come down to some of those opportunities. You don't get a ton of them, and can you bury them? I think especially with Duchesne. But Johansson, I think he's been pretty honest last couple years. As frustrating as it's been for fans, he's been pretty introspective about it and honest about, like, he's watched film of himself and, like, what is, some of it is, like, I feel like I'm doing everything right, but then there's just something missing. And sometimes it is, like, this game is – it's like you can do everything right as a hitter in baseball, right?
Yep.
And you can prepare, and you can have an incredible preseason, and then you start the season, 2-for-40. And, it's just like there's still that – those opportunities are rare, and you've got to have that skill, and you got to just be able to finish. And that's going to be some of it. So I think it's important for them to have a good start. In terms of production, not just playing like that, but in terms of actually having some production to show for it, and then they can build on that. Because if not, then it just gets back to the same discussions.
Right.
And then John Hines has got to look at it and say, okay, well, maybe this isn't. I think the early stages of the season are really critical for those two guys.
Josh, our winner on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. The Chicago Blackhawks, the team that P.K. Subban scored his first goal as a Predator against on opening night 2016.
And I recall it being a power play slap shot.
It was a slap from the point and the nice rodeo celebration that he had.
That's right. Yes, the rodeo celebration.
Place went nuts. All the 55 people here from Montreal and the media went nuts. It was quite a night.
5 years ago, right? Basically five years ago. Exactly.
Yep,
yeah.
Pretty much.
My goodness.
A lot of energy in the building that night.
Yes.
Had the Blackhawks, P.K. Subban. That was good stuff. Congratulations to Josh. And again, like I said, we will have tickets to give away every hour here on
It is Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.